Hello and welcome to another Two Tribes podcast. We're
banging them out.
We are banging them out. And
if there's anything good coming from this lockdown, it's that we're getting time to do podcasts. Well, yeah, my one. You're still doing about 15 or 20.
30 or 40
yeah, now, I think.
This season, again, what an absolute season this is, because, well, we'll find out in a minute. So much happens in this season that we're still feeling the effects and ramifications of now, aren't we?
They're fogs. I mean, it's a bad season regarding the title. Arsenal won the league on 83 points. Liverpool second, 76. Then Palace on 69, Leeds on 64, City 62, and drop down to ninth, we have Everton on 51.
Yeah, if you go back to us and Arsenal, they lost one game all season.
And scored, if you remember, they were also deducted 2 points.
Yes, I was going to say that. So Man United got deducted 1 point and Arsenal got 2 points for a fight.
Yeah, they had a mass brawl, wasn't it?
Yeah. So this is definitely Man United coming back to resurgence because they won the cup the year before, hadn't they? Our semi-final Crystal Palace defeat, which we forgot to talk about in the last episode. Ferguson basically won one defeat from losing his job and wins the FA Cup, keeps him in his job. They don't finish in the top five this season. Where did Man United finish?
I don't know. I only went down to fifth and then down to where Everton was.
Yeah, I'm like that. I haven't got the league. Man City finished above them. Yeah. It fits.
And when the previous few seasons, they've been yo-yoing between first and second division. Man City.
Yeah, exactly. But Arsenal only scored 74 goals to our 77. But they only conceded 18 goals in a 38-game season, whereas we conceded 40. They lost once. We lost eight times.
Yeah, we were definitely leaking goals because we lost Hansen. Well, Hansen left the season, didn't he? He was injured. Yeah. He was injured like all season. Didn't play and just called his retirement after the big man went.
And you'd have a... I've got the results in front of me here. One of them in September, obviously, the Everton game. But before the Everton game, we dismantled Man United 4-0. Beardsley hat-trick. 2-4-6. First eight games, won. We drew the next. Then we won the next four. Then we drew. Our first defeat was to Arsenal in December. But even then, we carried on the winning. It's only in January the wheels sort of fall off.
Yeah, we 14 games unbeaten. Until, like you say, we lost 3-0 to Arsenal.
And then to go and lose another seven games on top of that. You know.
It's definitely a season where the wheels fall off. Yeah, without a doubt. This season as well, the European bandage lifted, wasn't it? European Cup. So whoever finished in the top spots was getting the European spots.
Yeah. So,
signings this year.
Go ahead.
David Speedy, 30-year-old from Coventry. We've got Redknapp from Bournemouth, 17-year-old for £675,000. Don Hutchinson from Hartlepool. And Steve McManaman was promoted from the under-18s. And as I say, Hansen was out. Hansen went, resigned.
And I think out of all them signings, obviously, McManaman is the one that shines. But even he is a pale imitation of what a Liverpool footballer should be, even though he's a Scouser and all that. I never really rated him to what he was replacing.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Boots to fill, didn't he? He was playing in Barnes' role, wasn't he?
And the other signings there, Harkness and Redknapp. I mean, yeah, fair enough, Redknapp. But again...
And David Speed was brought in as a sort of like Beardsley fell out of favouritism, didn't he?
Yeah, but Beardsley, like, scored... Was top scorer in September. Was something stupid like 9 goals.
I mean, I know the fans were all up in arms, weren't they, that Speedy was getting played before Beardsley in this season. They reckon that's Grealish's mindset, that he was getting questioned. And then, of course, all the rumours came out that Beardsley was doing Dalglish's misses.
That's got to be the other way around.
Well, that's what it was over there. Yeah.
Was it? Surely it's got to be Dalglish doing Beardsley's misses.
Yeah. I don't know, that's what we heard over there. It was the other way around. Over here, on the dark side.
Well, but there was never any truth to any of them rumours that we know. But that was
because everyone was like gobsmacked. Why is he brought in a 30-year-old? Okay, David Speedy scored goals. You know, a failure. Well, you say that, but he got sold a fucking the season after. But
who was the Asian fella we brought in from Millwall?
Jimmy Carter.
Was he this season? Or last season?
This season.
I remember.
Because when we a little bit of research to see if we signed and sold, I leave off the little no-marks who like might have played 10 or a dozen games. So we do make more signings, but I'm just noting the major ones.
All of them are strange signings, and all of them are not fit to lace the boots of the team. That
well, that's what I'm saying. That's
them.
Why everyone was coming up with conspiracy theories. What was going on? How come David Speedy got brought in as a replacement for Beardsley, and Beardsley being such a success? And he was sold to Everton. Something must have gone on, is what was in people's minds.
Well, I think Souness sells them on, which we'll come on to in shortly, but Souness cleared out. This was the season of what was that? The thingy ruling come out where players could leave free. The Bosman. And also, like you say, we're back in Europe, but the Welsh are foreign, the Scottish are foreign, the Irish are foreign. So we could only have, I think, 3 or 4 foreigners in the team.
Home, but yeah.
And all them are foreign. So we could only have English people. So there's Harkness. Was he Scottish?
Oh, no, he was English, wasn't he, Harkness? Hutchinson was Scottish, wasn't he?
So Hutchinson was Scottish, yeah. But basically, the backbone of that team is foreign. But they're not, but they are. So we were on a hiding to nothing. This great Liverpool team was dismantled before its time because of that European
and also this season, they went from a 20-team league to 22. So 4 teams came up from the second and only 2 went down this season. So this went to a 42 season after this.
And obviously, they're getting ready for the Premier League, aren't they? Because the next season... The last season of the Football League. Well, we'll get on to that next
so
episode.
So up from the second division came Sheffield Wednesday, Oldham, West Ham and Notts County. And down went Derby and Sunderland.
Weird. Weird, see? And people are saying, you can't do that now. You can't do that now. Well, we did it then.
4 came up, 2 went down.
So, very, very interesting. So, get on to the derby. Liverpool, even though they only came second,
they won the Charity Shield. Well, no, they drew the Charity Shield 1-1 with Man United, Barnes and Blackmore.
Yeah.
And it's time that the Charity Shield was ever shared, because they shared it for 6 months each, don't they? It's the last time, because then it was, the rule came in that it could only be extra time and penalties that had to be a winner. So this was the last time it was ever shared.
I like the idea, the notion of sharing it, but people need to see some sort of resolution, don't they, in a match?
I mean,
they
the fans need a winner. I'm sure the managers and the team would rather, if it finished a draw, it's a finish the draw, because extra time and penalties at the start of a long season, they don't want to risk the injuries and not on duty. So it's just a glorified friendly, innit?
So we're top of the league, we're flying, we've just crushed the Manx 4-0. We go away to Goodison Park, 22nd of September, 1990. Roger Milford is the ref. 39,847 turn up to watch Everton 2 and Liverpool 3. The Everton team, Southall, Inchcliffe, Watson, Ratcliffe, Ray, Atveld, Ebrill, Stuart McCall, Mike Milligan, Nevin, Newell and Sharp. So there's some new names coming in there. This is when I lost touch with Everton, basically. Because that great Everton team of the 80s, there's still a couple of names still in there. But they're slowly fading. Then we've got Grobbelaar, Burrows, Venison, Gillespie, Heysen.
Hussein.
Fucking hell, I've done it again. Hussein. Yeah. Houghton, McMahon, Whelan, Barnes, Beardsley and Rush. And again, the 87-88 team, Grobbelaar's in there, Gillespie's in there, Venison used to get a game, Houghton, McMahon, Whelan.
I like to say, Barnes, we had a great start to the season. This was our sixth consecutive win from the start of the season. In fact, we went eight consecutive wins until we drew at Norwich. So we had a cracking start to the season.
So it was just carry on. It was just job as normal. Do you know what I mean? It's just what Liverpool did. We're just going to win the league again. You know,
we went 3-0 up, didn't we? Beardsley
did we?
Scored on the 36th minute. Barnes a minute later on the 37th penalty. And then Beardsley got his second, 68. So we're 3-0 up. And then Hinchcliffe in 71. McCall in 84. It's the other night. And we're basically hanging on. As soon as they got there, you know, they were starting to get on top of us. And then Hinchcliffe scored the 71st. And we were clinging on. They were hitting the post. And there was goal line clearance in the last minute and all sorts. So we could have quite easily drew that one.
Yeah, and I watched this one as well. And this is Liverpool turning into
this
a basketball team.
We were coming very fragile crosses. When the crosses were coming in, our defence were crapping themselves.
And that goes right back to the Crystal Palace 4-3 semi-final. They're just whipping them balls in, and we were just... And even up until the last couple of years, almost, crosses have always done us. I don't know what it is.
It's like they're thinking, we can't play through them, so we'll go down the wings and just get them crosses in. And we've always panicked, we've always struggled. Anything else to add on this game?
So,
apart from the song of the time. So at number one,
go ahead, lad.
22nd of September 1990 was the Charlatans then.
Oh.
And I'll put my hand up, I've never heard it. I put it on to listen to it, and I don't recognise it.
I've got The Joker by Steve Miller Band, 15th of September. You're over there. You'll have the wrong pop chart.
The Whittle Hot Hits.
You've got the ITV chart.
I'm sure you haven't looked at the USA one. All right, it's okay. We'll go with yours then. Because I've never heard of mine.
Because the week before, I don't think the itty bitty teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini got to number Malice one for 3 weeks.
He's massive in the States. Ah, Timmy.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed. I bought that single.
I can.
I didn't buy the Joker, Steve Miller Band, an absolutely belting tune.
No,
I
but bought, you know, the what? Itsy Bitsy. That's you can excuse that because that's, you know, no one knew about that until you just mentioned it. It's when you saw Timmy Mallett at Lion Street. Was it Lion Street or Euston? And got your photo with him. And got your photo with him and plastered all over Facebook. What a massive pleasing smile on your face.
I said to him, can I have a selfie with you, Timmy? And he said, yeah, you can, but I need the toilet first. Where's the toilet? So we went to Bog and dropped off his mallet and then they come back. And
did he physically come looking for you or were you waiting outside for him?
I was waiting outside the Bog. I was handing him the toilet paper.
Yeah, lad, get that down, yeah.
And he spoke. Funnily enough, he was very brown and he spoke with an American accent. He was like, oh, hey, I'll do a selfie with you after I curl off this turd. Uh-huh. So he must be massive in America.
There you go, that's what it is. Because I was going to go then into, because I was thought it was the Charlatans, I was going into a little, on a tangent, that this was when the Manchester scene was massive. Because you had all the Stone Roses, Happy Mondays,
Spiral Carpets.
All them were dominating the charts then. But that Charlton song, I've never heard. Even when, like I say, when I played it, I didn't recognise it. But on the charts I looked at, it was number one for 3 weeks.
Might be the Manc chart.
All right, sound. Well, no sound is a pound.
All right, Aldo. So now, sound is a pound.
9th of February.
So,
go ahead. The Anfield Derby.
Yeah.
We're into 1991. And we had a 3-1 win. Jan Mulby scored first, Nevin equalised, and then David Speedy scored in the 49th and the 53rd minute to make it 3-1.
Beardsley come and replace them in the 79th minute. Jimmy Carter is on the bench for this game. So, Jimmy Carter come on for an injured Johnny Whelan, because I watched this one as well. And Jimmy Carter had weird tassels. It looked, they were like, they keep the boots up with the bandages. They'll put a bandage round and then they'll fold it over and hide it. Well, he left his out and he's taking a corner with these fucking flags hanging off his legs. I'm like, what's he doing? What are you doing, soft lad? But, I mean, I don't know his record. I'll be interested to go and have a look at his career and just see what happened to him. Because he couldn't have lasted at Liverpool very long.
He got game time. He wasn't a bench warmer. But I can't think of anything he did with, you know, nothing springs to mind.
No, so it was Leicester Shapter. 38,127 turned up. Grobbelaar, Ablett, Burrows, Nichol, Staunton, Venison, Glenn Hussein. Just say it like that, then I'll say it right. Jan Mulby, Whelan, Barnes and Speedy. So Rushy must have been injured. And again, looking at the shirt numbers in this game as well, I'm sure Venison was wearing number 9. Yeah, there's just some weird shit going on at the time. And obviously, shit's about to get real. But Southall, Watson, Ratcliffe, McDonald, Beagley, Eberl, McCall, Milligan, Sheedy, Nevin and Sharp. Tony Cotty come off the bench again. This has only got one Everton player on the bench. There can't have been that. It must just that they only used one. I don't know. Yeah. But we battered them again. And number one was...
KLF 3 a.m.
Eternal by the KLF.
Let me just have a look on this now. Yeah. UK official. Oh, I'm on the indie chart. That's why. That's why I was on the indie chart for the... It was at Charlton's.
Classic. Oh, yeah, they were top of the indie chart for weeks, mate.
Yeah, but I've got the KLF, yeah. 3 a.m. at 10.
Yeah, which is... Oh, well, this is the songs that we missed. That obviously, there's the playlist. That this fucking playlist has some cracking songs coming back on it. Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter was a few weeks before. Remember that? Iron Maiden. Oh, Sadness Part 1 by Enigma. Sad. Dis-moi. And all that.
Yeah.
Innuendo by Queen.
Entrance of 3 a.m.
And then there's another song coming on next after the next raft of games that we're going to talk about, because there's three more games to talk about. Should I Stay or Should I Go? Clash. So what a fucking boss couple of months for music. However, Liverpool Football Club would never be the same again.
Good tunes, though.
Good tunes, though, yeah. So we draws Everton in the FA Cup. The fifth round of the FA Cup.
Anfield, 17th of Feb, 91.
Yeah. Yeah. Nil-nil.
Yeah, McMahon. I watched the highlights of this. McMahon got injured within the first, so it's like 7-8 minutes. Bad injury. I think Venison came on for him. Yeah, Venison came on for him. And then Speedy went off. Beasley came on, which seemed to be a theme through the season. Glenn Hussein was captain, which I couldn't figure out how come he was captain. Above, like, Nicol, Mulby, Rush, Barnes.
Even Grobbelaar.
And basically, the most interesting thing that happened on this day was Ed Sheeran was born. I found that out. 17th of February 1991 is Ed Sheeran's birthday. There you go.
I curse you, Ed Sheeran. So the team, Grobbelaar, Ablett, Burrows, Nicol, Staunton, Hussein, McMahon, Mulby, Barnes, Rush, Speedy, and they were Southall, Watson, Keown, Ratcliffe, McDonald, Atterveld, Ray Atterveld, Everill, McCall, Sheedy, Neville, Nevin and Sharp. So again, this is a full tilt FA Cup game. This isn't the reserves.
And to be fair, we would be now because they were denied a blatant penalty. It was Pat Nevin was hacked down by Ablett in the box, and it's the most blatant penalty you've ever seen in your life. If you want to go back and have a look at the highlights. It's unreal how it wasn't given.
I'll go back.
It was the thingy mount, the ref. Hackett, was it? No.
Neil Midgley. Neil Midgley. That's right.
Yeah.
All these names are familiar, aren't they? These are
entire team ran to the referee and stuff. You know, basically how the fuck wasn't that a penalty. I think a couple of them get booked. Even Ablett stands up after he's brought him down. He's like, oh shit, and then can't believe it's not been given. Beasley came off the bench with his first shot at the post. So we could have nicked it, but we didn't deserve it. It was definitely a penalty.
And if we had nicked it, history would have been different, do you think? Or do you still think it would have happened?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, because of this FA Cup, we, the three rounds we were in, was it three rounds or two rounds? We drew. We had to have to replay for all three. So we had a lot of fucking games, and that's in the space of 57 days, we had 13 games. Where are we now? FA Cup. Yeah, we drew against Blackburn, and then we drew against Brighton.
We did. Ray Outon put a cross in. I remember watching that on the telly. Ray Outon put a cross in and right in the 6-yard box, the Blackburn fella taps it in with his toe. And it's so literally injury time.
Drew Brighton, and then obviously drew at Everton twice. So there was a lot of games there. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? I mean, his press conference when he... Well, we'll come to that when we get to that game. But he put it down to mental health. He needs time off.
Yeah.
So Let's do it.
So, 20th of February, the replay, 3 days. Oh, yeah, the song is still 3 a.m. eternal.
It is, yeah. Go on. I was looking at the next one.
Yeah. who's number one in the yeah, Simon and his frog singing about a tree. So Neil Midgley again. I think that must have been the thing, was it? Oh no, it wasn't. But it was for this fifth round replay. Everton 4, yeah. Liverpool 4.
Now this was touted in the press afterwards. The match of a lifetime.
Yeah, and it wasn't. It really wasn't. This wasn't on the telly. This was on the radio, I seem to remember. And I was in our house in Walton, and I could run out into the back garden because there was that many goals in this game.
Yeah,
you could hear them from the stadium. And Goodison Park's about 3 miles away, something like that. You could hear the match going on. Yeah. You could hear the singing and everything. Graham Sharp got 2. Tony Cotty got 2, Peter Beardsley got 2, Ian Rush got 1, and Johnny Barnes got 1. It was just a fucking car crash the whole game. It was just like basketball. It was just end to end, rumbling jungle
with Ali, wasn't it? Because it was just blow for blow. We were taking the lead.
It's a multi-pitch.
They were equalising, lead equalising, 4-all. Unbelievable game.
It was the players were dead on their feet, running through mud. Everyone was black. It was just the ball was. Everything about it was just a quagmire, and just it was like when the balls fizzed across the ground.
Yeah,
they hardly made the goal line. Do you know what? It was one of them ones. I won't read the teams because they were basically identical to what they were.
But Beardsley got a start.
But
this was Beardsley
after this game.
For a few games, and
was he?
He scored first, didn't he? He had a point to prove. Sharp scored.
But this considering it's like a semi final, it goes to extra time and everything. No. He doesn't use the substitutes. Ray Houghton, wonderful substitute. David Speedy might have just nicked it. Do you know what I mean? But we didn't use them. They used both theirs.
I remember more than anything in this game, I remember Barnes' goal. Remember he curled it into the top corner. And that you thought, that's it, we've won it. We've won it 4-3. Yeah. And then there was a through ball by, was it Ratcliffe for their goal? And I think it was Glenn Hussein just tried to step over it, so the ball run through to Grobbelaar. But Cotty got onto it and scored. So it was a defensive header again.
Fucking heartbreaking. Because I don't know if it was the next day or a couple of days later, but Kenny Dalglish, the press conference, Kenny's gone. I just remember everyone like, and it's
do you know what? I wasn't around, and frankly, well, I was, but I was too young. But I likened it to the where you went, Kennedy got shot, because I know where there was when the announcement came on the radio when Dalglish resigned. I was at work. I was working in the co-op in the butchers. Butchers department in the co-op, and we had our own little side room where we did all the preparation. We had a radio in there, obviously, and it came on the news, breaking news, Kenny Dalglish has just resigned from Liverpool Football Club, and my mate was out putting the meat out in the counters, and I just ran out and went, Bucko, Kenny's resigned, and everyone's head in the co-op just turned around, what was that, lad, what was that?
No, I've just had shivers listening to that. Because that's how momentous this was and is still, I think. That you know, we'd gone through so much with them. Winning the European Cups and player manager and you know, dealing with Hillsborough and then he's just resigned. What? And then the more heartbreaking is when you read his book and everybody at the club said, don't go, Kenny, stay. Go on holiday. We'll bring in. They actually said we'll bring back Bob Paisley for a few weeks
because they all
go and have a blow.
The build up of the Hillsborough on it because it was well documented. He went to all the funerals and he took it bad and all the rest of it. And it's just they all thought it was just a build up of all that. just got on top of him, and this was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Well, when you listen to his daughter, Kelly, she says he was unbearable to live with. You know, he was snapping, he was angry all the time. He wasn't the same dad that he had been. You know, so obviously he was going through some sort of mental turmoil. But you weren't allowed to be. There was no such thing especially as mental health then. You were just given... Yeah, because it was a sign of weakness. And what, you're a footballer and you're minted. Fuck off. Jog on. Do you know what I mean? So, in hindsight now, obviously he's having some sort of breakdown. But if you read his book, when did he bring in Souness? Because they were limping along. They brought in
Ronnie.
What's his face? Stepped up to the plate, didn't he? Ronnie Moran. And it, you know, even that wasn't good enough. And eventually they brought in Souness. And then Dalglish is like, hold on a minute. That's sort of my job. And it was too late.
Ronnie was in for 10 games. And he won 4, drew 1, and lost 5. And then Souness came in for the last 5, and he won 3 and lost 2.
Yeah.
So
that's where the wheels... If Kenny had just limped on, I think we'd have still been champions this year.
Possibly. I mean, it was a big gap on it at the end. He considered he even lost 2 points. But yeah, I mean, it definitely had an effect on the season. Yeah. There's no doubt in that. I mean, he was by no means a bad manager, Dalglish, because he was out for 8 months when he came back to Blackburn. They were in the second division.
Yeah.
He got him promoted straight away and they won the Premier League like 3 years later, 95.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At Anfield, one of the greatest sporting
exhibitions
you'll ever see.
Yeah,
that's it. After Cop was wearing Blackburn.
Kenny, you've won, Kenny.
Yeah. But it is what it is. He went, gone. Like you say, Ronnie Moran takes over. 27th of Feb. And so that's like a full week later, so we would have had to have a league game, no doubt. I'm sure it was something like away at Luton or something stupid.
Oh, I haven't got... Oh, 3-1. We won 3-1 Luton.
Isn't that weird that I've just pulled that out of my arse? Because that has... I would have been round at Ian McGlinchey's house constantly at this period, and he had a boss narrow alleyway, and we had a little football, a little mini ball.
Yeah.
And we used to play footy in there for hours. And that's all we talked about. And he always had the latest footy Liverpool kit. I never did, but he did. I was, you know, and it was just ingrained in us. And I knew that we went to
still have their Plaza
kit. Weird, fucking weird.
Because it was them and QPR,
yeah, it's horrible.
Fucking they were two that had it, wasn't they?
QPR, yeah. Vile. So Everton, put us out
this
the
was
cup.
This was like a non-event as well, wasn't it? Like a bit of a clearance dropped to Watson right on the penalty spot. He just volleyed it, smacked it as he could. And he won it 1-0, 12th minute. But they went out the next round to West Ham, so it doesn't matter.
Fucking bellends. Southall, Hitchcliffe, Watson, Keown, Ratcliffe, McDonald, Atterveld, Eberl, McCall, Nevin, Sharp. And we've got Grobbelaar, Ablett, Nicol, Staunton, Venison, Glenn Hussein, Ray Outon, Jan Mulby, Barnsley, Beardsley and Rush. Look at our bench, Nick Tanner. Yeah. Enough said. So that's that. So number one, and it's another belt and tune. And they were everywhere at the time.
I'm scared
was,
to say.
Was Do the Batman by The Simpsons?
I didn't have that. No, I didn't have that.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Do the Batman. Did you know, or do you know, who produced that and did backing vocals for it?
No. Oh, Michael Sam Jackson. Cowell.
Didn't know that, yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, little nuggets of knowledge I've got there. He was
going after the cartoon boy, wasn't he?
Yeah, please, Beck. He helped write it. Oh, here's my girl. Get me a cup of tea. Yeah, petal.
Oh.
Nice cup of tea. Tagger. Yeah, he helped write it. He produced it. And he did backing vocals. There you go. Michael Jackson. Messing about with Simpson.
And has Bart come out and...
yeah.
Has Bart come out and said...
he's been told to keep quiet. He's had a payoff. So that's it. That's all the derbies for that season.
Let's crack. Yeah, there's a lot of derbies. A lot of derbies.
The top grossing UK movies of the year. 1992.
Yeah.
1991. Number five, down to one. We had Naked Gun 2.5, The Smell of Fear. Yeah.
I said, didn't I? It's the last year. It's got to be a Naked Gun in there.
Everyone does that.
Clarice, I can smell your front bum.
Dances with Wolves, number three.
I always mocked that film, right? And I've seen the film, and then because I've seen the film, I had to read the book. Oh my goodness.
How long was the book? Because the film's all 4 hours long.
Fantastic film, that. Yeah, I don't remember the book being that bad, to be honest. But
number two, Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Oh, we went to pictures, we went to showcase all the boys, all the box of toys. Oh my God. Was Batman 2 number one?
Not even the top five. You can't guess who's number one.
Oh.
Who's got a link with Dances with Wolves?
It's the Robin Hood. Prince of Thieves. Look into my ass. Everything I do. I had that on CD single. I'd moved on. And it had an extra, it was a 12-inch version, so it had a big, massive Boss guitar riff in the middle, and then played the whole 7-inch again. Adieu for you.
News of the year. Gulf War against Iraq. Gulf War, Desert Storm.
Oh? Oh, my God. Right, so he goes on holiday while this kicks off. We go to Devon on holiday in a caravan park. And I see... No, I see me face vagina and tits. I went walking. We literally went out for a car drive to whatever place we went to, right? And when we got there, it was like on the coast. Yeah. And you could see our caravan park from the beach, on the beach. But and it wasn't as far as the car journey had taken.
I remember this
so
story.
I said, I'm going to walk back. So they went back in the car, and I walked back, and there was just all like minges and tits and cocks.
You're on a new speech, weren't you?
Boss. Yeah.
First time your mum and dad ever took you to that car, wasn't it?
Sound.
They was went on their own years before.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking dirty cocks.
Yeah. So if you remember, they did live coverage, 24-hour live coverage on the telly. So I sat up and watched quite a lot of it. Desert Storm, yeah. Robert Maxwell, his body was found floating in the sea after he fell off his yacht around the Canary Islands. Robert Maxwell, the pub's editor.
Ah, well.
Ah, well, yeah. That's a shocker. The airbag was invented for cars. Yeah, Americans Jeff Mann and Alan Breed invented the airbag. Good lads.
I've used a few airbags in
Trevor
my time.
Trevor Bayliss invented the clockwork radio. What a fucking waste of time.
Did he?
Don't know.
It was for the Africans, though, wasn't it? Hello, Africa. Here's a radio. I got nothing to
listen to. You got no electric, you got no radio station either, don't worry about it.
Did he invent the wind-up radio station?
Yeah.
Coming to you live from Kenya. Hold on. Johnny, pedal.
Radio Mumbai.
Pedal faster, Johnny.
TV of the... What was on the TV? The first airing of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It was our first look of Will Smith.
Now, this is a story.
91. Went on for 6 seasons.
That's weird.
The Darling Buds of May started with David Jason.
Oh, what was his little catchphrase on that? Perfect. That's perfect. Ooh, your fronties are perfect. Their
fronties were perfect.
Perfect.
One of Kerry's favourites, Soldier, started.
Oh,
Robson Green and
we all know
Finn.
That story.
Characters with Dave and Paddy, wasn't it? Was it Paddy?
I can't remember, and I couldn't. You would think that would be on repeat on all the old channels, wouldn't you? But I don't think it stood up too well.
What was your? Didn't you buy Kerry that for Christmas?
Yeah. So I got them videos from the Britannia Video Club. They used to send me check off every month. Yeah, and I collected them all over the year. And I think this is the year where I give them a Huggy Bear or something, one of them out of the card shop that you see on the side. Yeah. A Forever Friends bear it was. A Forever Friends
just realised the Huggy Bear.
Because that would have been with the bear. And a Forever... Yeah, and a Forever Friends card. And I think the year I bought all these was the year
so
I got
all these
the,
videos.
Sega
thought, I've
Dreamcast
done well
offer.
He's going to be well impressed. And you get the latest console off.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Fucking hell. Nice one. Yeah, that was awkward. And we exchanged gifts in the very house.
It all comes full circle again.
But,
and in 1991, saw the end of Bread.
Gotta get up, but get out. Gotta get up.
So after starting 86, finished in 91. People who were born classic in 1991 TV. Include Nathaniel Klein, Virgil van Dijk, and Joel Matip, Robert Firmino, Shaqiri, and Ed Sheeran. There you go. And I've thrown this in for the Joe Sugg. Joe Sugg was born this year as well.
Oh.
Mm.
God, he's old then, isn't he?
Thank you, baby. Took your tank on that without what have you been doing?
He's fucking skinny.
Oh, you've done the dishes as well. Well, you can come back.
Ah. Hot.
Oh, hot. So, yeah, that's the... That's everyone born, well, not everyone, but of note. Are we going to summon someone?
Go ahead. You're the one with the mantra, mate. I'm just going to have a quick kiss. Hold on. Go ahead. You summon.
We want to do the Who Died This Year section. Scylla, if you can hear me, please let yourself known to us. Scylla Black, are you there? Oh, Scylla, you never let us down, girl.
Hello. You'll have to do a bit more chanting.
That's all we need, Scylla.
Only
that's
me fronties are coming through. Oh. Can you see me, Cloud?
Follow me voice, Scylla. We need
it
you closer. Follow me voice.
For a while. I'm here. I'm here. I've come amongst you. You might want to wash that decorating down, that garden.
So come on, then,
silly.
Who died this year, girl? Who's up there? Who's the about? They're up there.
Well, if I was to say to you,
Liverpool.
We are the champions, fat bottomed girls. Flash.
Oh, is it? Is it Arthur Eddie?
Arthur Eddie. He's sitting right next to me. I've took my skids off just to try and tempt him, but he doesn't appear to be interested. I don't know. Although when I showed him my knotted balloon, he started quivering.
That's right. He swings the other way, don't he, Sil? Sorry, babe.
He does, yeah. So, Freddie, I don't think he wants to talk quite right yet now. Because I can't remember what his voice sounded like. So I wouldn't want him to do a disservice.
Oh, yeah. He had the old AIDS, didn't he?
So, did...
Wasn't he a prince? Was he a prince in Zanzibar? He did. Or himself?
It was go... I don't know. I don't know why he was with him, but he's got his mouth full at the moment.
Was this his birthday
Doctor
as well?
Zeus. Yeah, he was born in 1904 and he left this mortal coil in 1991. Cat in the Hat. Dick and the Singer.
Is Robert Maxwell up there? Because I mentioned that he died this year as well. Is he about? Or is he just being a nonce?
No.
Or has he gone the other way?
No, he's down below. Yeah. I'm not going down there for nothing. Last time I went down there, I singed me Mary. Because you can't trim it up here. So it was dead big and bushy. And it was very, very flammable.
I'll tell you who else died this year, Silly might be there with you. And he's definitely up there. Mr. Little House on the Prairie, Michael Landon. Oh, I love Michael Landon.
Oh, he is. He's sitting here now. He's literally got his face buried in between my fronties. Yeah. He's like that. He's got a pair of wings on his back.
What
was
that
thing he was in where he was an angel?
It's on the stairway.
He's on the highway to my heaven. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, lad. Get stuck in there. If you suck hard enough, you get a bit of milk out the left one.
Creamy.
Heavenly milk. Yeah. So, anyway... I've got to go and bleach my anus for 50.
Isn't Michael going to let him have a go? Michael Landon?
Well, when you're sort of dead and you're in heaven, you haven't really got a body, so to speak. You just have to pretend. So really, okay. We're just like
orbs of light. Well, I was going
to say,
Michael Landon couldn't really let him go up his hoop, could he? Because he died of pancreatic cancer, so that might be really difficult.
Oh my goodness, where are you getting this information from? I'm sitting with him and he hasn't told me all that. It's almost as if I'm just looking at a picture of him with no.
Has he still got his cowboy hat on? When he was on Bonanza?
No, he's naked. He's a very hairy man. Because have you seen the mullet on him? Well, imagine that mullet all over his body. Well, I'm going to shave him now and knit him a nice jumper.
Nice one, Sil. Thanks for it again this week to talk about dead people. Keep your ears open. Keep your ears open.
It's my pleasure. Any time. Yeah. There was a little fat fuck who was nearly up here the other week, Boris. I don't know if you've heard of him.
You sort of tried
apparently
to
it wasn't his time, yes. I had a word. Thora Aird said no.
Oh, poor Thora.
Oh, I've got a boss little joke about Thora Aird. So there's a farmer going down the road. And he sees all his cows are in the field and they're all frozen. And the other farmer says, I'm just making it up, I can't remember what the joke was. And the farmer says to the other farmer, what you need to do is you need to thaw that herd.
Yeah.
Thaw the herd.
We know where you're
going.
Something
like that anyway. Jokes mean nothing. Jokes mean nothing in heaven because everything's
Silla,
funny
it's been a pleasure,
here.
Girl. Speak to you next week.
I'm going. I'm fading away.
You've missed them, Ace.
That was the best piss I've ever had in my life.
You keep missing it.
Oh, fucking hell.
You and your fucking
shit. I always seem to miss it. I know. I tell you what, mate. I do like a good poo. I like to leave it on my G-spot until the last minute.
And
then it's like,
I feel as though it's got a bit of burn.
I am as well. Let's go and poo together.
I had a bag of peanuts yesterday and I can feel something scrapey up there.
Oh.
I'm going to feel it coming out.
That's going to rip that.
Oh, don't.
It'll be like Gran Canaria 95 all over again.
Referee.
Right, go ahead, lad. Say it. Shitty.